Let's stand together, please, for the scripture reading this morning. We're in the book of Mark. The book of Mark. Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. We will read responsively starting in verse number 1. So Mark chapter 5, verse number 1. We'll read responsively down to verse 20. And let's I'll begin, and the Bible says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains together, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I done, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou... out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they saw it with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Final verse together. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And let's pray. We thank you so much, God, for your love. We thank you for your salvation. It's so rich and so free. And God, we thank you that in freedom we can gather together around your word this morning. God, I pray that you would please be with our pastor, your man, as he preaches to us your word. And God, please give us exactly what you know we need, that we might apply it to our lives for our good, the good of others, and God, for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated.
Thank you for that. Love this story in the Bible about this man who Jesus does great things to. There in the other gospel where the story is mentioned, I want to read one of the verses here. Luke chapter 8 and verse number 35, it says, "Then they went out to see what was done, came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." People, when kids are growing up, you always ask them, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? They never give you something lame. You know, I want to collect cans, or, you know, I want to be a loser, although no one's a loser, okay, whatever. They always tell you the big, I want to be a doctor. Or if they don't have any morals, I want to be a lawyer. Okay. I want to be a fireman. I want to be a police. They want to do something great. I think that's kind of inbred in all of us. Problem is, a lot of times it gets beat out of us. In the early 80s, Apple was co-founded by Steve Jobs, and Wozniak was the other guy. But these guys were creative when it came on the computer side, but on the business side, they realized they thought they needed help, and so they wanted to hire an experienced CEO. They were just young kids in their late 20s. And so Steve Jobs set his sights on a man named John Sculley. He was the CEO of Pepsi. And Pepsi was a very successful company. He thought, if I can get this guy can come in and run my business. And so he went to New York, and he met with him several times and was trying to talk him into doing this. And Sculley met him and said, listen, I thought about it. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to come to your company. And Steve Jobs, and this is the testimony from John Sculley, said what changed his mind is Steve Jobs got in his face and said, do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugar water, or do you want to change the world? And he bought into it. And he took off. Now, it didn't work. Okay, he ended up getting fired. But this guy made a change because he appealed to his sense of, let's do something great. Do you know, that shouldn't change just because we're Christians. Do you know, we ought to want God to do great things. Think of this man here. He was possessed by devils, running around naked, living in a graveyard, breaking chains, scaring people. His life was a mess. And then Jesus comes, heals this man. The demons, of course, the story, the demons asked to be sent to the swine, which the Jewish guys shouldn't have been raising swine anyhow. And then they run off the ledge and they all die. And the people of the town freak out. They're like, Jesus, we'd rather you not be here. Wrong way to react, but that's what they did. But the point of the matter is, here was this man whose life was a complete and utter mess, and now he is completely different. So the man comes to Jesus and says, yeah, I want to go with you. And Jesus says, no, I got something better for you to do. As I look at this story, I see the great thing, and Jesus used that. Go tell what great things that God has done for you. And God wants to do great things in us and through us. And so that's what I want to focus on this morning. Let's be involved in great things. Let's be involved and live a life that is a life that's accomplishing something great. Not great in the sense of for us, not great in the sense of everybody pats us on the back, but great in the sense of purpose, great in the sense of influence. As for the few weeks, we'll preach some messages that have to do with our theme. Let's look at some of these great things that God wants to do in and through us. First of all, I want us to notice the great things that He does for us. And we see it in the life of this maniac. First of all, I think we see the greatness of salvation. Here's this man, and he was possessed by devils, and now here he is, and I don't believe he just got the devils out of him. I believe that he came to know Jesus Christ. And because of that, the demons could have got out of him, and he could have went out and just got involved in something else. But that didn't happen. He was completely changed in every single way. But how did that start? It started with salvation. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth. Now, salvation is really two parts. Salvation is we are saved and our souls are saved, and now we'll go to heaven when we die. But he also wants to salvage our life on this earth. He wants it to make it completely different. But it doesn't start until that moment that we trust Jesus Christ. As I often say, the package of salvation is more than just eternal life. That's the main gift that we get, but inside of that gift of salvation, there is so much more. But if we don't get the first gift, we don't get everything else that is included with it. So if you don't know Jesus Christ today, let me tell you something. He can do great things for you. Well, you know, I don't have demons inside of me. I've met some of your children. I think they do, okay? Well, I don't have demons inside of me, and I'm not doing crazy things. That's okay, but if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're missing out. He wants to do great things in salvation. I want you to notice it wasn't just salvation. I want you to see him sitting. When they came back out of whom the devils was departed, they saw him sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, if you know in the story, they couldn't control this guy. This guy was out of control. If they went there and they tried to contain him and to control him, it just didn't happen. It just didn't work. And yet he meets Jesus Christ. Jesus takes the demons out of him. He's completely different. And when they come back, this crazy man that was all over the map, here he is sitting calmly at the feet of Jesus. Amen. He was submitting to him. He was listening to him. And he wanted to get to know him. It's just amazing how Jesus Christ can just calm us. There's a lot of things in this life that can cause upheaval. There's a lot of things that go on in our life, and it's not good. And sometimes we wonder, man, we start to get stressed or whatever it is, and we're not feeling it. But yet when we meet Jesus Christ, we can have a peace that the world does not understand. Amen. A life that was lived doing its own thing is now in submission to the Master. By the way, that's what God wants to do for you. He doesn't want you just to meet Jesus for salvation. He wants you to meet Jesus so you can sit at his feet and you can have a relationship with him, and he can do great things in your life. See, so many of us, we miss that step. We trust Jesus Christ and we get saved, and we might even come to church, but we don't go any farther than that. He's got so much more for us. It's going to be a shame for some of us. We're going to get to heaven, and we're going to say, man, I'm glad I'm here. And Jesus is going to say, I had so much more for you. I had all these great things in store, all these things I wanted to do in your life, and you missed out on it because we're not willing to sit at his feet. But I also want you to notice what we call sanctification. This man was clothed. In other words, before, he wasn't clothed. That was kind of a sign that he was kind of crazy and all the demon possession in his life, his clothes were all, but now here he is, he's dressed up, and on the outward he looks so much different than he did before. What is that a picture? A picture of sanctification. In other words, God wants to clean us up on the outside. Not so that we get dressed up and we look like some type of trophy and inwardly we're horrible. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about he does things inside of us, and that changes everything outside of us. Well, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Well, the man could be fooled by the outward appearance, but God knows exactly who we are. But you cannot tell me that if God is working in your life, it will not be evident in some way. Some way. That's called testimony. What's different about you since you've met Jesus Christ? I'm saved, but I'm the same old person. That's not God's plan. God's plan is from the minute that you trusted Christ until the day that you die, that you're constantly changing and becoming more of what he wants you to be. We call that sanctification. That's just a Bible word, which means Jesus works in your life from the moment you're saved until the moment you die. The moment that he quits working on you, we are in trouble. We're not going to be going forward anymore. And listen to me, we're not just going to run on that momentum. We're eventually going to start going backwards. God is always trying to work on us. That's why we come to church and we hear the Bible preach and we read the Bible on our own, or we hear it in Sunday school and say, I've heard those things before. Well, the Bible does tell us put the brethren in remembrance. But sometimes we need a reminder, don't we? Because we start to let things slip and God's like, shore that up. Or here's something we need to take to a greater degree. That all happens because we meet Jesus Christ. Oh, you can change some stuff on your own without him, but usually it isn't lasting. And usually it's not exactly what he wants. But he wants to do great things in our life that is seen outwardly. I want you to notice also another great thing he did was security. It says that he was sitting and clothed at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. Now, as parents, I'm pretty sure we've all used this phrase to our kids. They'll do something lame and we'll say, "What, are you out of your mind?" Now, I know some of you, and it's like, you're not in your right mind. You're in your left mind. But here he is. He was not in his right mind. They could tell when he was all the nonsense going on, but they could just tell by the peace and the calm that had come in his life that something's different. He's in his right mind. You know, one of the signs that we are not where God wants us to be in our life is drama. We have drama in our life. So often the drama in our life is caused by sin. And God wants us to deal with that, and salvation helps us with that. I don't like drama. Now, it just seems like our house is always drama, okay? And that's just a drama of 100,000 people there all the time, all right? That's not bad drama. That's just, you know, it's just not, you would not real quiet. We get used to that. I'll tell you what, those few times I'm home sometimes, and it's very rare and no one's there, it's kind of like, this is weird. Then the second thought is, I could get used to this. I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about we have drama. You go from problem to problem to problem to problem. Not struggle. Sometimes struggles are just a part of life. I get that. But we just, it's always something. That's why I have trouble. Some people want say, I have this problem in my life and I want help with it. It's like the problem isn't the problem. The problem is the root. If you don't get to the root, you're going to have a problem. It won't be the same problem, but it's the same cause. What they want is they want the drama of the current moment taken off, but they don't want to change what they're doing to bring this drama on. So 3 days later, it's going to be more drama. I don't mind helping people, but John Castle taught me something a real long time ago. I'm probably the wrong guy to hang around with, too. He's like, don't make your drama my drama. You know, the people get in trouble and they wait till the last minute and they call you and say, you have to drop everything right now. Now, sometimes things come and we have to, I get that, but you know what I'm saying. But it's like the reason we're constantly going from drama to drama to drama to drama is because we're not letting the Lord change us. See, because if he changes us, the things that we're doing in our life that's bringing the drama on will be eliminated. Now, I understand that sometimes we come into Christianity and we bring some baggage. In other words, there's some things we've done in our life and Jesus has changed us and we're a different person, but there are some effects of the sin we still have to deal with. But you know what? We can still have peace in the midst of that. Yeah. Because we're different. Right. What's the point? The point is God has done great things and he'll completely change our life. Don't settle for just coming to church. Don't just settle for being here every now and then. Don't just settle for knowing for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. Let God do something great in your life and change you. We get excited sometimes. A convert gets saved and all of a sudden they start living for God right away. Can I tell you something? That ought to be the norm, not the exception. But we live in a time in such a watered down Christianity. We see too much of this television Christianity, the duck commander Christianity, that kind of nonsense. Where they get up there and they're promoted on TV that I have Jesus and I can also have the world over here. That's not reality. And so we buy in, someone gets saved, like I'll just kind of float around. Listen, let God do something in your life. So there's great things that he does for us, but secondly, I want us to notice there are great things that we can do with him. Yes. See, that's the second part. Reaching them is when we get saved and people get saved and God can do it. But the second part, teaching them, is let's let God do something in our life that affects others. See, we come in sometimes and we have these issues in our life. We get saved. We start to grow in our faith, and church is a refuge. The Bible's a refuge. And God's healing and us, and he's working in our life. And if we're not careful, by the way, that's good. But if we're not careful, that's where our Christianity stops. And we're like, Jesus, just keep bringing it. But we don't want to take it and share it with anybody else. We kind of get into this selfish kind of Christianity. In verse 19, when the man asked Jesus, like, I want to go with you. I want to just stay with you, Jesus. I mean, my life's been, I want to be here. This is what I want to be with. And he says in verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. How long had this guy been healed? How long had this guy been sane? A day? Part of a day? Jesus didn't say, listen, you need to be in church for a couple years. You need to be sheltered. You need to be birthed, and you need to be... And by the way, all those things, when you're new, if you have things, we'll help you. We're there. But you know why you're doing that? Why God's working on you? You can share that with others. Right. Hey, God's doing great things in my life. I always love that when someone gets saved. And right off the bat, yeah, I was telling my friends about that. That's called a dose of the real thing. Yeah. And some of us that have had it for 20 years, we stick it in our back pocket. We wouldn't share it with anybody if they paid us. But he wants to do great things. He wants us to do great things with him. What kind of things does he want us to do? He wants us to reveal that in soul winning. I mean, sharing our faith with others. We read the soul winning verses. If someone led you to Christ, they probably ended up with Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 after explaining everything to you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But what does it say after that? He basically says, but how are they going to know? Unless someone goes and tells them. So after we get saved, immediately we ought to be a witness of what God did for us. So I don't understand all that. We have to learn. I was saying to my Sunday school class this morning, you know, as a new Christian, I knew that I wanted my friends to meet Christ, and I didn't know how to share the gospel. So you know what I did? I brought them to church. I brought Dave Rebolito is a friend of mine. I brought him to church. We sat in the aisle. That the invitation, at the end of the message, you know, we have an invitation. We meditate and think about what we heard. And we stood up there and I'm like, come with me. Now, he had no idea what we were doing. And I brought him down the aisle. And there's assistant pastor, Dave Sisson. Now, I was a new Christian. I didn't know you're supposed to be respectful. Call him brother, Sisson. I said, hey, Dave. This is my friend Dave. He wants you to tell him how to get saved. Now, Dave had never indicated to me that he wanted to know how to get saved. I just figured, I didn't know how to tell them, but Dave did. So during the invitation, come with me. Okay, where are we going? Restroom? You know, we're getting out here early for lunch? No, you're going to talk to Dave. And Dave talked to him and he got saved. So I did that with my other friends. Now, some of them didn't get saved, but some of them did. But then I realized I need to do it. And I went to Brother Esposito. I gave the thing, and he gave me, the gospel and a little piece of paper, and I taped it in my New Testament. And I went with my brother-in-law to talk to his mom, Helga. Now, you were in Sunday school. I told this story. I'm telling it again, so just laugh. You know, when you think of the name Helga, a certain thing comes to mind. Absolutely. Old German woman, came from German, as mean as they come. I mean, frying pan, if you're not listening, type of lady. And so we go there. My brother-in-law wouldn't talk to her. I had to talk to her. 18-year-old kid. Like, we go to the table. Helga, do you know you're going to heaven when you die? No. Like, can I tell you? She's like, yeah. Like, all right. And that was the last time I looked at her. Open my Bible. Oh, hey, ooh, you're a sinner. Bible says, and I flipped to the verse. It wasn't even Romans Road. I think I started in Ecclesiastes. You know, there's nobody does good. Oh, you're a sinner, Helga. And I explained that to her. You understand? Yeah, I understand. Okay. Whoa, it says here you're going to hell. Like, what? Yeah, let me read the verses. Oh, yeah, hell's hot. You know, blah, blah, blah. We went through the whole thing. You know, I flipped through. Hey, but there is some good news, Helga. And we went through all the thing. I even told her about the second coming. Jesus has come, and you're going to get left, and it's going to be bad on earth, and then you're going to go to hell. It's all bad. Now, I don't know if she felt sorry for me, but after about 20 minutes of that, I looked up, and she was crying. She may have felt sorry for this. Like, what's this punky kid trying to do? Okay, I feel bad. But I think God convicted her. I'm like, whoa, she's crying. I'm like, hell, you want to trust Christ so you can get saved? She goes, I do. I'm like, okay, let's pray. I'll lead you into prayer. There's nothing magical about the prayer. The prayer is just you telling God you believe what you just told me you believe. She goes, okay. And I didn't even know what the prayer was, but I had that taped in my New Testament too. I'm like, let's pray, Helga. You know, she's not looking. And she got saved. Amen. Listen, I was clueless, but I knew it was my responsibility. And I also knew this. I was excited about what God did in my life, and I could not keep it to myself. I had a motorcycle, and I got stickers. You know, I got all these Jesus stickers on there. You know, I didn't do that one, Turner Burn, but Jesus is Lord and all this. I just thought, I just want people to know. I went back working for my dad, and the Harley Davidson guys would come in. My dad had a shop, and we had a bead blaster we used, and they would come use that machine, and these bikers would come in, and they knew me before I was saved, and they came in, and I'd have preaching on my radio and Christian music, and they're like, what happened to you? I got saved. I'm a Christian. I didn't quite get that. But you know what? I just couldn't help but do it because God had done something great in my life, and I wanted to share it with others. And God wants you to share it with others also. Most of us, and I'm not saying this to be mean, but I want you to think about this. Do they know you're a Christian where you work? Do your relatives, do people closest to you, do your friends, your Facebook friends know you're a Christian? If you on your Facebook or Instagram or Twitter posted something Christian, would someone come back like, what was that all about? Did you repost that from somebody else? Maybe that's a sign we're not letting people know. But God wants us to do great things. And then God wants us to do great things with Him in serving other people. We've talked about that. You read the verses in Ephesians about salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith. And then the verse right after that talks about us being a new creature. We are His workmanship, a new product created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see, if you love Jesus, if He's done something in your life, you're going to want to do something for Him. Yeah. And you know how we serve Jesus? In the church, we'll sometimes use the word ministry, get involved in a ministry. The way you serve Jesus is you serve others. The way you serve Jesus is to do something through your church for somebody else for His sake. Yes, sir. Most people don't do that. They live their life doing their own thing. I'll leave you with this story. There was many years ago in the 1800s, I believe it was, there was a, over in London, they were having some type of occasion over there, and they invited a lot of the dignitaries. And they invited a preacher, his name was Caesar Millan. He came in too. He was well known in the city. And as part of their program there, they had a lady get up and sing, and she had a very, very beautiful voice. It wasn't the type of music we would think of secular music, but it was just a nice song. She sang it. There was nothing Christian about the meeting. After the meeting, as the people were mingling, this Millan went up to the girl that sang and said, I was thinking something. I was wondering how greatly God could use you if you would just learn to trust him. He says, you are a sinner. And he basically gave her the gospel in a nutshell, on your way to hell, but the Lamb of God died for you. Boy, if you trusted him, he could probably use you in a great way. She got offended. She went back that night to her hotel and she thought about that. But as she thought about it, it started to prick at her heart. Within a few days, she got saved. Shortly thereafter, she wrote a hymn, Just As I Am, without one plea. And God used her greatly because someone had the guts to stand up to her and say, you know, if you ever got saved, God could really use you in a great way. Yeah. And here we are, we get saved, God does great things in our life, and we don't do anything for him. Let's serve him. What's the point today? God wants to do great things. He does a great work in us once he saves us, and then he wants us to be involved in the greatest thing we can ever be involved with, serving him and spreading the gospel to the lost. Now, this is typically a Sunday night type of message for people that maybe have grown a little, but you know what? It's not a Sunday night message. Because the second you trust Christ, you're now in his army, and you are now one of his ambassadors, and we're supposed to get out there, and we're supposed to share through our life and through our lips what God has done for us. And that's what our theme is all about. Let's stand this morning.